The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Keith Walsh, the podcasting and PR guru. Keith, who's your sinner of the week?
Well, I briefly mentioned this to Alison outside, and she hadn't heard of it, so I'm excited to see her reaction. It is...
It's a don't tell me.
It is the Boo Basket.
Boo Basket.
The Boo Basket.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Are you guessing what it is?
I think maybe.
So Christmas, of course, you get your gifts when you come down. They're under the tree or whatever. Some people get their gifts on Christmas Eve. Depends on your culture and all that. And then Easter then has become a thing where you get chocolate.
We always got presents at Easter in Canada growing up.
Yeah, we always got clothes or something. New clothes. Or, you know, you get something at Easter.
Yeah.
Introducing... It's coming your way, the Boo Basket,
which is
a basket full of gifts.
You're not talking to someone's chest. Boob basket. No, it's not that. No.
I laughed a bit too hard at that, but
okay,
I like it.
You've been cancelled. You've just been cancelled.
You've just been cancelled for
saying it. No, it was a test. It was a test.
And
Keith,
I loved the play.
Failed the test
the pun
by laughing so hard
word.
At it. Oh, for shame, Keith. I don't think we'll have you back on this lot.
Is this an episode of Mad Men? What the hell is happening?
I think this is the last time Keith's going to be here after that joke.
Well, maybe.
Oh, yeah, after that joke.
I'll be back next week.
No,
you can't get rid of me.
No, if you're not here next week,
you don't have that power.
If you're not here next week, people will know
you
why.
You have that power.
People will know why. Go on.
It's a basket full of gifts that you get at Halloween.
So of course I'm going to love it.
Well, you're going to love it, but also as a parent, you might be a bit like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like I remember my sister, and she's great. She's a great mom. She's a great sister. But when she started doing the
gifts.
Instead of sending the letter away at Christmas, it would be collected by the elves, and then they might leave something, and that was kind of like, I remember that was the creep of all these sort of.
So it's not really her fault. The elves were leaving it.
No, it's not her fault. Yeah. But I just remember
it started in her house.
Yeah, because you've got the stuff. Yeah, because then you're like, we probably the elves are going to start coming to our house, And it's just another thing to think of, I must remember on this day to put the letters out, because we used to send them, but it's much better
now,
if the elf comes to your house.
Would the elves be leaving a sizable gift?
It'd be a thing, not a huge gift, but it's what they, because they leave a bit of fairy dust, they might there might be footprints, and then one of the elves might stay around and it might make a mess every night, and there's a whole jobs there.
We would do a 24th box, so we always had a gift to open from parents on the 24th.
Yeah, Christmas Eve, we used to always do that.
So we do that with Joan now, so it's not from Santa, so we... put a bunch of stuff together in a box. So it's kind of like an extra gift on top of everything she gets on the day.
Yeah. We do, we were always allowed to open one thing on Christmas Eve. So it was something from under the tree, and then Santa would come then that night.
Yeah, we open our gifts from each other.
The
kids on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. So you'd be sitting there with a can of Lynx and a pair of socks.
We can't be talking about Christmas. Halloween hasn't happened.
Boo basket.
You need to be angry about the Boo Basket. It's another gifting day.
Where did you see it?
I saw a TikTok about it. It's an American thing, but... There was a young sort of influencer. She was unveiling her Boo Basket that she got from her mom and dad. And
what was in the Boo Basket?
So probably makeup stuff.
It could be makeup stuff. It could be...
actual gifts, not candy.
It could be candy. It could be some clothing. It could be it could be an iPod.
It's a Boo Basket.
Headphones or but it's yeah. It's your. I mean, Halloween morning, of course. You can't wait to go downstairs to see what the turnip man.
I give it minutes before there's a post online of Alison. Click buy your Boo Basket at the link below.
Oh my god! Why didn't I think of this?
Yeah, exactly, Boo Basket delivery service.
Patent pending. Anyone listening? Patent pending.
My idea.
Yeah. The Boo Basket.
Yes. Well, of course, you would get people, you would get those men going, do you sell boobs?
No.
Toxic men.
Double cancellation there for that. Alison, who's your sinner of the week?
So a guy called Josh Setter, and he was in The Bachelor in the States, so I didn't watch that. You guys probably don't know that.
No.
He's very much in a little a-hole. He's trying
the bachelor.
To...
The bachelor is the one where the rose at the end.
The bachelorette. They're trying to... It's another dating show.
It's like the farmer wants a wife or married at first sight.
I can't remember what year he was on it, but the reason why he's a sinner this week is just a few days ago, he came out and said that he'd been doing this social experiment online where he was transitioning to be a woman. And it was all a hoax. And the reason why he was doing that is that he wanted to prove that the woke lefties are delusional and so gullible. And isn't he hilarious? And isn't he smart? And basically completely discrediting a whole population of people. And he posted about 130 static posts on Instagram, about 108 reels over months going, I'm transitioning. And the irony is that the only negative feedback he got was actually from the far right conservatives going, ew, disgusting.
Yeah, what a weirdo.
He's doing this because he wants to prove that. He also wants to prove that, you know, people can choose to be, you know, trans. They can choose their identity.
Choice.
I didn't know that. Anyway, that's his point. So he's just generally like, I watched two videos of him, just so unlikable. And there's a great news outlet called Pink News. And one of their best quotes was saying, bigotry has no end goal. And it was just so good because it's like, that is true. What is his end goal? Like, is he going to completely try to say that this population of people doesn't exist? They do, won't exist, whatever. Like, what? He's just a grim corner of the internet.
When he was pointing at what did he describe them as? The woke lefty?
Lefties. Like, they're so delusional and just talking
about... But they, I assume, probably greeted his journey with kind of openness and kindness and understanding and sympathy. Like, he's like, oh, the state of you guys being nice to me.
You're so woke. You're so aware.
Yeah.
That's what Pink News were saying. They were like, well done. You proved that lefties do accept people for who they are. Well done. And he's just he's gross, he's really unlikable, and it's just everything about it is so disrespectful and creepy, and it's privileged as well. So it's like you think that you're going to go through this whole process that is torturous for so many people because people don't accept people for who they are because of people like you, and then you're just going to like snap out of it and everything will be fine. So it's like just making fun of everybody's existence. Like he's awful. I hate him.
Yeah. I don't know, is it because I've just filtered it out? And maybe this is a naive hope, but I feel that the online fascination for all the wrong reasons with the whole trans debate, it's a culture war. I just feel it's ebbed a little bit away, has it?
Or have as
I just
in, do you
in
think
a good way?
Not. If you're trans, it's probably just as real today as it was six months ago. But I don't think it's as. If I turn on the airwaves, mm-hmm. I don't feel kind of mainstream media aren't tying themselves in knots about trans issues
as much
on a day to day basis. Is that kind of?
I don't know. Maybe. And I suppose maybe it's maybe also a situation that a lot of news outlets are kind
thing.
Of not highlighting or amplifying the voices that are critical. Like we're not hearing about JK anymore. Like maybe that's maybe why.
Yeah.
You maybe you filtered it out as well, but I definitely think because I don't go on X or Twitter or anymore, and I'm definitely like there's
space on Threads. State
no,
of her.
I'm not. I'm on LinkedIn now. LinkedIn is my new thing. I love LinkedIn.
What kind of posts are you putting up on
that
LinkedIn?
That should be my winner. Sorry, Austin.
What are you putting up on LinkedIn though? That's a real kind of like corporate landed a great job.
Like I am like who do you have on LinkedIn? Like 300 people, and I'm like really stressed writing out going, this has to look professional. Whereas on X, I have like 30,000 or whatever. You're just like boom, boom, boom.
Whatever.
Putting up a random
This isn't
word.
A LinkedIn post. I have to be very careful. So he's gross. Josh is my sinner.
Josh Sider?
Setter.
Josh Setter. Yeah. Allison's sinner of the week. Allison, Thursday week, the big day, Halloween.
Yes.
Have you picked your outfit yet?
No. I'm a little bit distracted by the birthday this year. So it's the day after. So we're making plans around that. And do you know what I was thinking about the other day? I've been looking for the perfect pumpkin, guys. I haven't found it yet. So you know when you go into the shop and you're like, you know, you've got to examine it. Even if there's a little bit of a fault, you can make that the back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not finding my ideal pumpkin. And normally at this stage of the game, I'd have 3 or 4 carved and like make them extend their life. And then I'd carve a few more.
And you've none done yet?
None. Isn't that a shock?
I think it's big pumpkin, isn't it? Like they're.
I'm worried it's too late.
Someone I saw, we talked about this last week, but I still get suckered into the Instagram people showing me how I should be marking Halloween. And they say, cut the hole in the bottom of your pumpkin, not the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw today.
Yeah, because you think you lift you cut the top and you lift it up. No, it's like, do it at the bottom. And
then you just
put
the candle
over. And then put the candle on the ground and put the pumpkin over
it. But today I saw someone do something really impressive. They carved it out the back and you just stick it through so you can turn it on and off like a light switch on the back of your pumpkin. So you're only like a little hole.
So you're putting a hole in just in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you get an electrician around. They wire up the pumpkin.
Top out. Yeah, exactly.
Getting a sculptor in.
Yeah. I might try that this year.
All right, okay.
I'll let you know.
Of course, the turnip was the original pumpkin.
It was, yes. And
which is hard to carve.
It is very hard to carve, but that's what we were told. When we were like, oh, will you get a pumpkin? There's turnips. You need a turnip. Turnips are the traditional.
But then you only make those like dehydrated, creepy faces. You can't be that creative with the turnip.
It's very difficult to carve. Like, and you know, and it's not like your parents are going to give you really, really sharp
tools.
They're
not hollow inside. They're hollow. That's the problem, isn't it?
They're full. They're solid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like carving out a potato, which would be easier.
You know it's good?
They're quite small as
peppers
well.
Are good. If you want to do like a little mini jack-o'-lantern.
A little orange.
Peppers are really good. And oranges are good too. There you go.
Intriguing.
Excellent.
All right. Keith, who's your winner of the week?
Halloween. My winner of the week is, well, two people and two podcasts. You do still do the podcast bit on your show?
No, Andrea does it now. Pod Squad. She stole it. She stole my slot.
I thought you said you sold it.
Stole my bit.
So, two podcasts you should listen to. A Balm for the Soul.
That's a good name for a podcast.
It is.
A Balm for the Soul.
Yeah, don't rob it. I'm the podcast guy. And no, you can have it. I'm not doing that much. So the Off Menu podcast with Ed Gamble and James Acaster, they had an interview with Danny Dyer.
Okay.
And the Adam Buxton podcast, do you listen to that?
Yeah, where he's walking the field with his dog at
the start. The intro is with the dog out walking. And he used to do Adam and Joe. I don't know if you remember their TV stuff, radio stuff. He has John Cooper Clarke on. Do you know John Cooper Clarke?
Interviewed him twice.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Did you enjoy interviewing him?
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Yeah. He was great.
Yeah.
One of these people who you're nervous of interviewing first because you suspect that they might be a bit tricky. Or like one of these people who you think, if these strikes me as the type of person who, if they're not in the right mood, it could be tricky.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know is that true, but all I can say is, if it is, he was in a great mood when he was here.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah.
And we did a double interview because he did the bookshelf as well. So he gave us his book recommendations. Oh, cool. He was great.
Really great
nice
guy. And I think the reason I've said Danny Dyer and John Cooper Clarke because there are two people that have kind of created careers outside of like sort of society or culture or not even within, like say Danny Dyer within the acting community. Like he's done kind of everything. Like he did EastEnders. He presented a quiz show.
He's become like an icon.
He's a national treasure.
How did that happen?
Well, I just think he just kind of walked
that fine line where it's like, you know, people respect him. People like what he's saying. He's also hilarious.
He was in Harold Pinter play.
Was he?
Like he's a good theatre actor as well. And he's got like lots of fans, directors, like theatre directors are big fans of his work as well. And he just seems to just have remained himself.
Yeah.
So he's just always just been himself. And I think that really works for him.
He's probably a hard worker. He strikes me as a hard worker. And I think you get, over time, you'll get rewarded for
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, once you're putting
we're
in the effort.
We're hoping, aren't we?
Oh, God, I really hope that's true.
And you kind of felt with him like, oh, he's
waiting.
Because if I find out that's true, I'm going to really start working hard. I'm going to really start putting in some effort in this place.
But I do think that, but maybe for you guys, like don't presume that the way that you think you should be going is the way to go. Like John Cooper Clarke kind of, you know, he was sort of a late bloomer. He was very big. He toured with Velvet Underground and all that kind of stuff. But it was only lately with the Arctic Monkeys and all that kind of stuff that he became really, really popular. And he's been in a few movies as well. And he's another guy who's just operated. I mean, partly because he was a heroin addict for a while. Mm. But he's operated, you know, he's found his own path. So it's two people that I felt, I listened to, I enjoyed. They were nice people.
Reinvented themselves.
They just kind of did, they just went with their gut or whatever. And it's worked. And two really good podcasts that will cheer you up on this dark, miserable, horrible day. No, it's not that dark.
John Cooper Clarke described his own poetry to me and his own work as like a pirate with a lisp describing their boat. Unthinkable. That's a good one, isn't it?
That's really
he's so good.
Good.
He's so good.
And I love it. He loved his own joke. He actually yeah. thought it was hilarious. And it was.
He comes
it
out
was.
With so many lines in this interview as well. And he talks about passion. And he says passion's overrated. He said something like, war was never started by someone who didn't really care one way or the other.
Yeah.
So passionate people can be bad. And they're the problem. So like we're putting too much weight in being passionate. Stop being passionate. Just have, you know, a passing interest in stuff, you know.
Alison, who's your winner of the week?
Alison Felix.
Oh, so yes, the 400 metre runner.
Yeah, started with 100, 200, 400 relay.
The runner.
Yeah, she's retired now, but she is the most decorated world athlete champion, men and women, and she has like 27 medals. So first woman to ever achieve 7 medals from the Olympics as well. Like, she's just incredible. But years ago, you guys probably remember the big thing with Nike. And basically, she was leading the pact and stirring up the fact that Nike were not going to guarantee protection for salaries for pregnant athletes. So, because she had, I think she has 2 children now. I think
she had a child just this year, I think.
Yeah, so I think that was her second. Yeah. So, yeah, so she kind of stirred that, kind of going, people don't realize that this is the case with Nike, but they don't want to support their, you know, endorsements to their female athletes that are pregnant. So she led to Nike changing. It was 2019, I think it was. And then she 2 years later, she's like, forget about it, I'm going to set up my own brand. So she has her own brand. And then when Obama was president, she was part of a council that was really promoting women in sport, like at such a high level. So she, you know, is a really good advocate. But the reason why she's my winner this week is she has set up a new sporting firm that is completely for women to basically encourage better endorsements for female athletes, better contracts, all that kind of stuff. And it's called Always Alpha. It's actually her brother that's working on it with her. And I just think that's just, she looked at the holistic, you know, approach. And it's going to cover female broadcasters that are really well known for, you know, commentating in sport, coaches, everybody, and going, we need to get all these people better deals and, you know, really appreciate that female athletes and people in the sporting world that are not men have unique attributes and qualities that aren't covered in the general kind of scheme of things because they never had been before. So she just spotted that hole and she's like, I'm going to form
So she's
this.
Retired, but actually she's starting to work. She's getting going.
Yeah.
She's only starting to work hard now. She was just like cruising around, just running in circles, like 400 metres. You just end up where you start.
You don't even have to train for that, do you?
She's just so impressive.
Just go back to where your bag
is. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's one of my favourite athletes.
Yeah, and ever. I just love that story about her. So yeah, she was brilliant.
Beautiful runner.
She's going to be huge.
She's like glides. She doesn't run, glides.
Yeah. She's just incredible, superhuman.
There's an issue as well with women playing GAA in this country. And they are still under the... They're still separate, aren't they? The ladies
they are now.
Football.
They're coming together. They're it's all coming together.
Coming together the last 5 years or whatever. They can't do it, you know?
Yeah. Well,
they just can't do stuff.
We had a team in Ballymacarbery as part of my town stuff going on in the country. In Waterford. I didn't know this until I got there. The women's football team's most successful GAA team in Ireland, 41 titles. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
Well, I mean,
they never lose.
And you get that in every sport, you know, but within the organ. So I was speaking to a footballer she's very good. She's a great footballer. You'd probably know her. And she got injured. So she got injured playing football and the surgery was going to cost 10 grand.
Yeah.
And the team, you know, LGF, what's it called?
LGFA.
The LGFA.
Yeah. We're going to cover the first 2,000 of it.
Yeah.
So for her to get the surgery to allow her to keep playing football and an injury she got playing football for her county, it was going to cost her 8 grand. 8 grand she didn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in the end the surgeon said, "Look, I'll do it for you." You know.
Yeah.
He did it as a sort of a.
But it shouldn't be the situation. Yeah.
Inner gaff.
Yeah.
Get
up on the table there.
Yeah.
That's 200 euros.
You got any knives?
And I just think you know, there's definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's worldwide, but you know, it's here in Ireland too.
But it's funny because say that Alison Felix thing this week. So Medals and Mics, you know, the podcast with Dervla O'Rourke and David Gillick and Rob Heffernan. The episode, it was actually last week's episode, the Derry McVeigh on the sports, the agent. Mm-hmm. And Derville told a story about, I can't remember what year it was. It was the year Derville was like a world indoor champion and was Gillick a European silver medalist or world silver indoor? Anyway, they were kind of, you know, they were both at the top of their game. Both came back from this big kind of indoor global event and they were both offered a similar kind of deal And in fairness to Gillick, Dervil asked him, how much are you getting for it? Mm. Gillick told her. He told her how much. And she was getting a fraction of what he was getting.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she kind of went her own way, and like, she is kind of a hard-nosed, hard worker.
Oh, she is.
And she kind of, it worked out for her by going her own way.
Yeah, she's not
going
to take any.
But like that, the two athletes,
but why?
They were both.
Like, that's the thing. It's just so
kind of equal
ridiculous
on paper, and the only difference was gender, and he was offered a much bigger package, which is funny in a sport, because athletics is a sport where it's much closer
are
to
you
being.
Yeah, are you sure that more people are going to be influenced by one or the other? Yeah.
It's closer than it is in Gaelic games, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Or
like
football.
Yeah.
Like tennis, you'd watch the ladies.
Like tennis is close, much
as
closer
much as
well.
Well, generally people
but
would.
Not equal. No.
Yeah,
but
tennis is. Well, close enough, Alison. What are you giving out about it? It's close enough.
You can't even throw.
But boobies get in the way.
And look at the Irish rugby team. I mean,
actually, the Canadian rugby team, sorry to cut across you.
Canada, right?
The women's team actually is professional paid, and the men's I don't think is yet.
Oh.
So that's it. That is a go Canada.
That's cool. Well, we don't want anybody not getting paid,
yeah, exactly,
really. But
yeah.
The women's rugby team beating the All Blacks. You know, yeah. And if you think back a couple of years ago, they were it was like they were blamed for complaining.